May it please the court. Good afternoon. My name is Eric Hall, bar number 32028. I'm here on behalf of the appellant NSA. This case involves a $17 million participation loan on a failed construction project. The Bank of Wyoming was the lead lender on the loan. In July 2008, the architect disclosed that the project would require an additional $4 million of stitching work. This was disclosed to the borrower and to the contractor, but not to the bank. As a result, from July 2008 until April 2009, 10 months, $13.6 million in the bank's loan funds were dispersed on a project that was destined to fail. Had Land Title done its duty, this would not have happened. Specifically, Land Title should not have dispersed loan funds when the paragraph 4 certifications of the disbursing agreement were not attached to the payment applications. Land Title had specifically agreed to be the disbursing agent. As disbursing agent, it agreed to supervise the disbursement of loan funds in accordance with the construction loan agreement and the disbursing agreement.
Mr. Hall, that statement intrigues me. Isn't the duty you seek to impose upon the title company one which is typically undertaken by an architect or an engineer or people with expertise in these kinds of construction contracts?
Yes, Your Honor, it is, but the facts here show that Land Title specifically sought out this duty. In fact, you can see the email correspondence of late October 2007, early November.
How was Land Title manned or otherwise, did it demonstrate its ability to fulfill this kind of obligation under the contract?
Well, Your Honor, Dan Irwin for Land Title was initially, I would say, cross-selling Land Title's other services, including its disbursement services. Then once the bank said, yes, we won the 101 endorsement, then Land Title said, okay, well, then we need to disperse. And so then they kicked it over to Brian Tipton, who was acknowledged at Land Title as the disbursement manager, had expertise in dispersing services. There's evidence in the record, Your Honor, that Land Title was advertising that we will do this dispersing work for you so that you, people like the Bank of Wyoming, don't have to do that work. That evidence was in the record, Your Honor.
Pardon me.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you see a difference between disbursement and approval of stages in an operation? Because that's essentially what happened here, is there was an approval of a particular series of stages that weren't completed.
Your Honor, in this construction project, there was the lender, the bank, and then there was the borrower, the contractor, the architect, the inspecting agent, and the disbursing agent, and the title insurance company. Land Title fulfilled both those bottom roles, expressly agreed to fulfill both the disbursing agent role and the title insurance role. And that is seen throughout the disbursing agreement. And when you look at Exhibit 5, which is the red line version of the disbursing agreement, you can see how the disbursing agreement was amended so that Land Title would provide these precise services, Your Honor.
Counsel, following up on my colleague's question to you, again, you mentioned that this is a $17 million participation loan. And given the amount that's at issue, how would it make sense that Land Title would agree to take on all the duties that your client ascribes to it when it was only paid something on the order of $13,000 for what you say it contracted to do? I mean, that doesn't
make
a whole lot of sense to me, but you explain, please.
Certainly, Your Honor. Now, again, I want to distinguish between the duties that Land Title actually assumed and the duties that the counsel for Land Title is projecting as if Land Title assumed. For instance, in the order which they wrote and their briefs, they say things like, oh, Land Title, according to NSA, Land Title assumed all duties or the duty to observe the whole project. No, nothing like that. What Land Title assumed was under paragraph 4 was ensuring that the certifications were properly attached to the payment applications. That is a simple task, Your Honor. The payment applications would come in, they would review the payment applications, and they would see if the borrowers, contractors, and architects' certifications that the budget wasn't busted, in essence, were attached. That's a simple thing to do, but an extremely important thing to do, because they were the final gatekeeper of preventing funds from going out the door when, for instance, these certifications weren't properly complied with. There was evidence at trial by the general contractor, Vince Colarelli, that had he been required to provide the contractor certification, he would not have done it, because he knew in July 2008 that the budget was busted. We had $4 million of extra expenses that were not in the budget, that the loan funds were not going to be able to cover.
But weren't those the very duties that the bank itself was supposed to undertake, and not only was supposed to undertake, but could either waive or could it, you know, modify if it chose to?
Your Honor, yes, absolutely. The bank absolutely had power itself to be the ultimate backstop and say, we're not going to disperse. But the whole reason it hired Land Title, and frankly it hired PDG as inspecting agent, was because this is a $17 million very complex project. And so it hired, under the disbursement agreement, Land Title to act as its agent in disbursement, which meant Land Title also had the duties. Again, counsel for Land Title tries to make this an either or, but it's a both and. Here, certainly the bank could have prevented the funds from going out, but Land Title was hired by the bank to do the exact same thing, right? Again, there were checks and balances throughout this entire agreement. It's a $17 million project. Obviously, you want checks and balances where you have redundancies. The contractor, the borrower, and the architect are supposed to certify, right? The PDG, the inspecting agent, is supposed to make sure that the work is done, and the bank certainly could have stopped the funds, but Land Title's duty is clear under Recital C, under Paragraph 3, under Paragraph 4, that it was not to disperse if the certifications weren't attached. And there's no dispute in the record that those certifications were not attached, ever. So again, it's Land Title breached its duty, and the bank hired Land Title to prevent this precise thing from happening.
Its duty to assure that payment applications were adequate.
Yes, Your Honor, yes, to not disperse funds if the certifications weren't attached. If you look at Paragraph 4, which I know goes on for 2.5 pages, right, it says very clearly on that first page of Paragraph 4 that as a condition precedent to funds being dispersed, certain things had to be attached, the Exhibit C documents. When you look at those Exhibit C documents, which we can describe carefully in the briefs, the certifications are the certifications that the scope of work has not exceeded the budget. The borrower, the contractor, and the architect knew the scope of work had exceeded the budget in 2008. Land Title should have not dispersed funds when it saw that those certifications weren't attached. It did not do that. The record is clear, Your Honor. Brian Tipton for Land Title, the lead for Land Title, said, in evidence, we did not comply with Paragraph 4. Because he thought it wasn't its duty. The disbursement agreement says otherwise. The disbursement agreement, the entire agreement, says it was Land Title's duty. That's why this is a question of law. Your Honor, the evidence is undisputed that what Land Title did is they acted just like they acted on all these other deals, which they do. But the agreement they made here under the disbursing agreement was that they would supervise these funds and act as the bank's agent for disbursement. When you read the disbursing agreement together, and you read all the provisions together, you see it's unambiguous that Land Title accepted this duty and that they did not perform on it. And as a result, the bank lost $13.6 million.
Now, if your contention is that the disbursement agreement is unambiguous, that it clearly sets out the duties that you seek to impose on Land Title, why do we even need to look at the red line version?
You don't, Your Honor. You don't. I just directed the court to the red line version because it is further evidence that that this is exactly what occurred. You can read the disbursing agreement and see from the paragraphs I've mentioned, C3, 4, that these are the duties that were imposed on Land Title. However, if you're inclined to agree with the trial court and find that it was ambiguous, then by all means, look at the parole evidence and look at the red line version. Look at the emails going back and forth, which include Brian Tipton's emails saying, here's a dispersing agreement. It sends it to Land Title's lawyers to review the dispersing agreement. It comes back and says, this is okay. Brian Tipton directs his local Land Title person, that's the one you're supposed to use. All that's in the evidence, which shows that that's the agreement that they agreed to proceed under. That's the agreement that the bank relied on, that Land Title would follow, and yet it didn't. Unless there are other questions, Your Honor, I would like to save the remaining 4 minutes for rebuttal.
All right, sir.
Mayor. Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Kim Bruch, registration number 32838 on behalf of Land Title. In order to clarify just a couple things that counsel raised regarding the background of this, I think it is important to note that he acknowledged that July of 2008 is the first time the cumulative event that everyone points to that turned this project on its ear happened, when what we're talking about is a disbursement process that began in November of 2007 when all of the agreements were signed. The $4 million that wasn't disclosed occurred 6 or 7 months later, and there's all sorts of independent obligations that the owners and everyone else involved in the project had related to making sure that the bank was fully aware of what was going on with this project. And at this point, 7 months of disbursements had gone by with no one having any issue with the disbursement process or the paperwork that was being submitted. As Judge Graham pointed out, PDG, a third-party entity, was hired in this case by NSA because it possessed the exact qualifications that you were concerned about with respect to Land Title. It had a completely separate role and was included in the process. Its obligations are outlined under the Agreement for Construction Control Services, which was submitted to this court as part of the record. PDG, when you review the obligations that it had in this process, was actually put in front of Land Title in terms of time in the process for disbursement. So the owner was instructed to send all of the pay applications to the bank and to PDG, and PDG undertook the obligation to prepare the pay applications for the bank's approval and submittal. That dovetails you into Land Title's actual role in this process, which played out. Land Title was retained, and I think paragraph 4 and recital C of the agreement do set it out. We were retained for dispersing. So Land Title's obligation here was to take the pay application, which, by the way, contained written approvals from the bank, and disperse those funds by means of cutting the checks to the various contractors, subcontractors, and suppliers. And to go back to the reason that this occurred, I think what the court also needs to understand is the underlying rationale for why Land Title was involved in this process at all was because the bank specifically requested a 101 endorsement from the title company. Those are not commonly given, and it's mechanics lien protection is what it boils down to. So when the 101 endorsement was requested, Land Title in turn said, well, right now, because PDG is in charge of the entire disbursement process, it was actually anticipated they were even going to wire funds out. Land Title said, we have to bring the actual money under our umbrella because we have to cut the checks because the checks contain the lien waivers. And if we're going to insure the property against mechanics liens, we have to make sure that we are the ones responsible to cut those checks and make sure that the lien waivers are returned to us. Counsel, if I may just briefly interrupt. Now, there is no dispute with regard to the mechanics lien protection. Nobody's arguing that Land Title or PDG did not do what they were supposed to do vis-a-vis the mechanics liens. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor. Okay, it's actually undisputed that any of the funds that were dispersed by Land Title did not result in a mechanics lien being filed against the property. So from that perspective, the process worked. Land Title did what it was expected to do with respect to the disbursements because there are no mechanics liens that can be traced to those monies. Now, there were mechanics liens that were filed against the property. I just don't want to get things confused, but they were after the bank stopped dispersing at all. And so those mechanics liens really had nothing to do with Land Title's involvement in the process. I think that you have to be very careful with the definition of dispersing. It was used in the briefing and at the trial level that NSA wanted to describe land title's function here as gatekeeper. And that's what they keep referring to, which does, and during the testimony of the counsel for NSA, they basically were saying they were intending to make land title have all these broad protections. The definition that was used was disbursement. And then more specifically in Recital C, it says dispersing and retainage. It was very specific that that's what we're talking about. And this is the disbursement department of land title. That's what we do. We cut checks and we collect the lien waivers. And then we issue the date down endorsements to the policy to make sure that the property is protected from those mechanics liens. And the $13,125, the fee that land title received, was solely based on that 101 endorsement. That was the published fee, and that's what they retained. They didn't charge anything for any extra duties. It's undisputed, in fact, that no one expected land title to go out and inspect this project, nor did we ever. Nobody from land title was going down on a monthly basis and ensuring percentage of work completed, or that the pay applications, when they were charging for materials, that those materials were actually present and used in the project. That was not land title's role, nor has anyone ever suggested that it was, even during the litigation. So what they want to say is, just because of the fact that this piece of paper was missing, land title is responsible for the downfall of this entire project. There's also a couple problems related to that specific theory. One is that PDG was actually responsible for collecting that specific piece of paper. It was attached also to the agreement for construction control services and put it in there when they prepared the pay application. So it was flawed before it even got to land title. Second, the bank was receiving the pay application, and the bank's president testified he wasn't even bothering to read these things, even though the bank admits it had ultimate backstop authority on this project to stop dispersing if there was a problem. He wasn't even looking. So to even suggest that had Exhibit C been attached and he had received it and he would have said, uh-oh, we have a problem, it clearly wouldn't have, because he said, I never read it. So even had it been there, he wouldn't have said, we clearly have a budget problem, we're going to stop dispersing. Finally, I think it's clear, based on the fact that you have to, even in the briefing, you're pointed to three other agreements, you're pointed to emails, you're pointed to red lines. It was reasonable for the district court to determine that the language that was used in this agreement was ambiguous. If for no other reason, then you have an agreement already sitting there, the Agreement for Construction Control Services, that defines PDG as the dispersing agent. Now you have a dispersing agreement that defines land title as the dispersing agent. So you have to say, let's look at them and see what the roles of the various parties are. That's exactly what the court did in this case. And there was no objection at the time, although there certainly was a standing objection to the summary judgment order, to the parole evidence. That's what the court considered in this case. And I think the clearest forms of the parole evidence that the court needs to look at are, there are two emails, which we've cited in our brief, Exhibits 139 and 155, which clearly lay out the party's intentions related to this process. You have one email from PDG, which states that PDG will do the diligence of the paperwork, site observations, and then affirm to land title that it's okay according to PDG's observation. So they said right there, they're going to do the due diligence of the paperwork. That's the pay application. That's the attached Exhibit C. And then Exhibit 155 actually comes from counsel for the bank. And he says, this is addressed to land title, you will update the title work. PDG will inspect to make sure it's done and review and match up the invoices. When this is done, lender will get the green light to fund the disbursement, which will be released to Land Title Guarantee Company. They were doing all of the due diligence, the observations, and making sure everything was in order. Land Title was getting the green light to cut the checks. This is also very clear when you look in our briefing at the evidence regarding the first pay application, which was our evidence of the course of dealing. Land title wasn't even copied on the first pay application. It went to PDG and to the bank. Land title all of a sudden received a wire into its general account that it didn't know what to do with. And upon talking with the other parties, it was the pay for the first application. And at that point, Land Title sent an email that said, in the future, we've got to have a copy of the pay application. Otherwise, we don't know how to cut the various checks. That's what gives us the information regarding who to request lien waivers from, who to address the checks to, how to do it. And it includes the letter that's the written approval from the bank. And we submitted a compilation of the written approvals from the bank, which is Exhibit 23, I believe. It shows that each and every pay application was approved for payment. So Land Title also relied upon that in terms of following through with its obligations and doing what it was doing. So the process went on months and months and months. There was not one single pay application that included any of this documentation. And the agreement for construction control services actually said that the lender and PDG would control what was considered acceptable documentation. So Land Title wasn't involved in the first pay application discussions regarding this. There was even that we cited to a conference call that occurred before the first draw where they discussed the disbursement process. We weren't even invited to attend, so nobody was on the phone for that because, again, nobody anticipated it was going to be Land Title's obligation. So when you read the various agreements, I think you can see Land Title's obligations, PDG's obligations, the owner's obligations, the lender's obligations. So you have all these people involved. And in fact, it's a little hard to say that Land Title is 100% responsible for this because in fact, NSA actually did sue PDG, alleging the exact same thing, that they breached the terms of the Agreement for Construction Control Services and caused the failure of the project by failing to make sure all of the documentation was attached.
Well, I'm assuming their position is that both parties had the duty.
I think it is, but here, obviously, they want to, say that PDG did not have the obligation because otherwise it's a little difficult to make that argument. So they did. They sued the architect, they sued PDG, they sued Land Title. We understand that. I just want to point out for purposes of that, I mean, they've asked this court to enter judgment in terms of $17 million, which is the totality of all of the money spent on this project. It's not some sort of portion. And we also cited law that to some extent that's inappropriate, but I don't think that necessarily comes to the forefront at this time.
Council, outside of the disbursement agreement to which both, the bank, not so much NSA, but the bank and your client are parties to that, was there any other agreement that they're claiming that somehow you breached an obligation under that agreement?
Well, certainly not directly, Your Honor, but what they have asked you to do is identify Land Title's obligations by not only reading the disbursement agreement, but implying obligations from the loan agreement to Land Title because it's referenced in there. So they have asked you to read that because there is no such language in the disbursing agreement related to a few of the issues that they want to identify, so you have to look over to the loan agreement. And then they also reference the Agreement for Construction Control Services, at least to some extent, although not directly, because they at least tie those two together. But they have said in their briefing to this court, they have to read all three of those agreements together in order to really understand the intent of the parties and cite a case law to that effect.
But I mean, certainly the construction and control service agreements, your client's not a party to that.
We're not a party to the loan agreement or to the agreement for construction control services. The only agreement that Land Title is a party to is the disbursing agreement. You are correct.
And I think, Council, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the construction loan agreement, isn't PGE defined as the dispersing agent?
It is, and that's one of the ambiguities that arise when you view all of the agreements together. PDG is specifically defined as the dispersing agreement, plus it's given all of those same duties in the agreement for construction control services. Land title in there is defined only as title, and then it also references on page 7 of that agreement, right under the definition of dispersing agent, it specifies that there is a separate dispersing agreement with land title. So it's acknowledged in there, even though they are defined as dispersing agreement. And then you have this other agreement that land title is a party to, that again, I would submit to you is very specific in that it's limited to dispersing, which is a term in the industry and is their specific construction disbursement department. And that's why they said we have to disperse specifically because of this 101 endorsement. There was no request to go outside the bounds of that agreement and do anything above and beyond it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Birch. Mr. Hall, you have about 4 minutes and 50 seconds.
Thank you. Your Honor, the key word here is not the word disbursement, but the word supervise, right? Council for Land Title avoids that word, yet that's the word used in Recital C on page 1 of the dispersing agreement. It says that Land Title has agreed to supervise the disbursement of loan funds and to act as the lender's agent for disbursement. And when you look at the Exhibit C attachment to the dispersing agreement, which is the contractor certification and the borrower certification, it also says that the bank, that Land Title was the agent for the bank for the disbursement process. So that's the duty that Land Title assumed. Next, Your Honor, as to these agreements, what NSA has argued is that it's the dispersing agreement that Land Title has breached. The dispersing agreement says in Recital C, in paragraph 3, in paragraph 4, that the construction loan agreement that Land Title is to supervise disbursement according to the construction loan agreement. So again, if you just look at Recital C, it says lender bank has requested dispersing agent Land Title to supervise the disbursement of loan funds under the loan agreement, which is the construction loan agreement, and in accordance with the terms thereof and of this agreement, the dispersing agreement. So that's how the construction loan agreement comes in, and in our reply on page 5, footnote 1, we talk about when one agreement, the dispersing agreement, cross-references another, the construction loan agreement, the party, Land Title, is subject to both. To answer your question, Your Honor, again, it's the language of paragraph 3 and 4, specifically Land Title breach, but also you can look at paragraph 7.1 and 7.2 of the construction loan agreement that says, again, if the essentially budget is busted, then the lender must be notified. And that's what these certifications were designed to do. Another point, Your Honor, on these three different agreements, the agreement for construction control services, that was signed November 8th. The dispersing agreement, that was signed November 15th. The construction loan agreement, that was also signed November 15th, 2007. So anything about the AACCS construction was superseded by the agreements that the parties made, including Land Title, a week later on November 15th. The emails that she referred to, right, email Exhibit 155 and 139, actually you must look at the whole chain of emails, which I'll just read them off in order. It's Exhibit 55, Exhibit 2, Exhibit 139, Exhibit 3, Exhibit 164, Exhibit 6, and then Exhibit 5. Those are the chain of emails where you can see the parties talking to each other about what are the parties' relative duties. And it's in that series of emails, the last of which are the duties, is the email where Land Title is agreeing to the specific language of the dispersing agreement after having their attorneys approve it. The language that says that they are to supervise the disbursement process.
Counsel, why shouldn't this court conclude that the bank, NSA's predecessor, effectively waived the requirements of having all that documentation attached to the request for payment of funds by not insisting that they be included, by, you know, paying and paying and paying and not insisting that they be included.
Because, Your Honor, a waiver, as Land Title admits, all the cases cited by both sides admit, must be clear and unequivocal. Paragraph 20 of the dispersing agreement says that any waiver must be in writing. And it's undisputed that there was no writing about the bank saying Land Title doesn't have to worry about its duties under the dispersing agreement. There was absolutely no clear and unequivocal waiver or ratification or course of performance, whatever they want to call it, here that the bank was saying Land Title doesn't need to perform. Mark Burkle, the president of the bank, gave testimony that the bank hired Land Title so that they would perform their duties under the dispersing agreement. David Milray, the attorney for the bank, again, he's the one that testified. The reason the bank hired Land Title is so that they'd be the gatekeeper. Because once those funds go out the door, then the horse is out of the barn. You can't get those funds back, which is why Land Title, on this very big, complex construction project, was hired by the bank to make sure that those funds wouldn't go out unless these certifications were attached. It's a simple but very important duty, which they breached. NSA is not claiming that, again, they're responsible for everything. We're just claiming that they breached the dispersing agreement. And because of that, they are liable for damages for that breach. So, Your Honor, we are asking that this court either enter judgment in the amount of $13.6 million or remand this case for a trial on damages.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Thank you again, Ms. Birch. The matter is deemed submitted, and you can expect a written opinion to issue in due course.